If you are listening to this podcast, it means you are searching. Searching for someone who understands you. Someone who gets you. You are yearning to be understood and to belong. Welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast, where we help smart, talented, and sensitive people navigate an often insensitive world. Let's welcome your host, ambassador, author, speaker, and mentor, Diane Allen. Diane has the experience and knowledge to educate and inspire, as she has been there and understands your unique intensities and their challenges.
Hi, friends. It's Diane, and welcome to Someone Gets Me. This episode was recorded live at a workshop that I was speaking at called Crack Your Focus Patterns. It was about productivity and living with specific actions to help you always stay alive and alert and awake and productive in every area of your life, not just work-related things. So enjoy the show.
The way we maintain our focus and what it really is the ability to be aligned. So whenever we're distracted, which is why multitasking and polyphasia are out, they're old news, is to be aligned. And what I mean is being aligned mentally and emotionally and spiritually and physically and socially, bringing all of us kind of into the same flow. I imagine it like tubing down a river, you know, where the river is the flow of all parts of us headed in that direction for our higher purpose. And at the same time, there's different pieces of us, you know, I might be looking over there at that or grabbing onto this, but seeing how we can be in a flow with all of us. I think what gets a lot of people who are especially the creative visionary people or the people that are very sensitive, where it gets us off a little bit when we talk about focus, is we think it's only an intellectual activity. And that's not the case. If you're physically uncomfortable, your intellectual focus will not be proper. It won't be adequate. If you're emotionally upset and you're trying to focus on something, you're going to have a harder time, right? And if you're spiritually not really dialed into your mission and who you are and what you're bringing forward, then it's going to make the creative process have a lot more angst in it. So I think when we look at our focus pattern and when we're best and how long we're good at doing it and the way the parameters come from the outside, it's incredibly important that we look on the inside and go, okay, well, how does it look like emerging from the inside out? And to give ourselves permission to be in that flow, so that we can be fully aligned anytime we're doing, especially the most important tasks, so that we're not finding ourselves kind of pushing through and constantly trying to do the next thing and do the next thing and be a machine. Because, you know, we're not machines. So we want to honor our focus and how it all works. Like, I do everything spiritually first. I align spiritually before I do anything. And then I check all the other areas. And then I go about my task. And before I write a blog or work on my book or do anything, see a client, before I did this webinar, both of us turned everything off. I spent time going within so that I could be spiritually focused, knowing that whatever I would say or do then would be aligned with the highest good for everybody. If I just came on intellectually focused, I'd just be talking about stuff and it would not have the authenticity or depth that we would customarily want to give. So I think for all of us, it's really important to make sure that our focus includes all of us, not just our mind, because our minds are keen and our emotions and our spiritual world and our physical body can greatly impact that. That's what I want to say about that. I just think it's more important than people realize. We're so into mental, and we don't live from the head up. We live from the heart out. So here's how you establish them and maintain them. I'm a big one on action. It's my favorite word. So here are some actions. Dragon breathing or fire breath, those words are used interchangeably, help you get rid of any tension. So if you find yourself working on something and concentrating, you might be one of those people who holds your breath. If you hold your breath a lot, you're storing up tension. If you're dealing with a vendor or a customer or a client and they have tension and you're an empath, guess what? You've got tension. The world has tension, so we tend to like take it on unknowingly and knowingly. So dragon breathing is an amazing way to get your focus back that fast and clear out your energy. I don't know if you all know what dragon breathing is, but dragon breathing is what releases attention. So it is a hard exhale. So it's like going, and I take my hands and I shake them. And I just use the exhale and I imagine all the gooky tension just leaving out of my mouth. And then I shake my hands and imagine it going off my arms. So I go, and then now my energy shifted. It really takes something that simple to shift the energy. And once we're shifted, now we can refocus and realign. And sometimes on some days where there's a lot of craziness, I might have to do it more than once. Sometimes I just do a little dragging breathing when I'm done with each task or before it just to clear it out. So if you have a schedule where you're working on one creative project, then you got to go over here and go to a meeting, and then you got to go over here and do this. Those transitions take energy and they take time. So what you want to do in the transition is give yourself some dragon breathing or shaking your hands. Water works really good on the back of your neck and on your wrists to break the engagement with that previous thing so you can go into the next thing fully aligned. Then you don't lose your energy and you don't lose your focus because you've released one to go into the other one. We're trained often to do it all at one time in our mind. It's too much. It doesn't work. The other thing is rhythmic breathing and having what I call a calming breath when I'm working. It keeps me settled and focused. All the gifted people I work with have an intellectual overexcitability, which means they look like they have ADD, but they do not. They're moving really fast. And they think fast and they have ideas and they see things and they want to move. And our physiology sometimes struggles to keep up. Calming our breath will calm down the system and allow better alignment, better focus that is more friendly to you, to whatever your unique pattern is. A calming breath starts with an exhale, like a dragon breath does, but the exhale is more gentle. It's more of a, and then we pause for a minute and then we bring it up, pausing for a minute and just making things very rhythmic so that your exhale and your inhale pretty much match. You pause your breath at the top and the bottom so that your system gets the message. Everything's going to be okay. We're on focus. We're on point. It's all right. That will give your mind and your emotions the opportunity to settle down and focus for you. So the temptation to be distracted or the temptation to look places and go down rabbit holes that may not be serving that particular project will be at bay then. And your ability to focus will be hugely better. The other part is to let your mind rest. And that is take a break. I have somebody that I know and work with that talks about joyful and productive rest. And I love that topic. And take a break. You know, I work for 47 minutes and then I take 15 off. And then I work for 47 minutes and then I take 15 off. And yes, it does not add up to 60 on purpose. I do that so that there's a rhythm. I know when I'm done with a certain amount of time that I get a break. And unless it's something that's so vital and urgent that I have to finish it to a completion of get to a place of stopping, when the alarm goes off, I stop. That gives me the time to be able to just take a break. You know, we take Sabbaths, you know, once a week, some people, and I think we need to take it after everything we accomplish, no matter how little or big it is. I take a break after everything I do, even if it's just 4 or 5 minutes. I give myself that break. And the most important one for me, because I live everything through spiritual purpose, is listen to your inner guidance and your inner prompting and your higher self. If you're trying to work on something and your focus is struggling and your inner guidance says, not now, not now, not now, then the answer is not now. The only time you would override that is if it was a life and death 911 type emergency that you had to turn into machine mode and put that part of you away. Other than that, it's important to honor who you are, honor your process, and say, you know what, maybe it isn't time now. I mean, I had a book that needed to be published. It was all done, ready to go, and I kept getting that, not now, not now. I'm like, why not? I got everything done. It was lined up, ready to go. And then it just so happens that about a week later, with this not now bothering me, an event happened that was critical for me to put in the book. And then once that happened, I got the inner prompting of, now you can go, now you can go. So I wrote the story. The book was published, and it's a key part of the book. The book would have been fine before, but listening to the inner prompting made the book great because I paid attention to the timing. My timing isn't always the universal timing. So pay attention to your inner self because it knows better than your brain does. So here's how you do it. These are all my little action steps. One is be in nature. No matter whether it's hot or cold or rainy or sunny, or whether you like it or not, if you're not connected to nature, you're going to really struggle, because we're all sentient beings and we all require the connection to nature. Like my office I'm sitting in right now, on the other side of this camera, all I see is the beautiful Tampa Bay and the beautiful sun here in Florida. And yesterday it was raining, and I got to see the beautiful bay and the rain, and it connecting to nature, whether you're inside it or in it, hugging trees, checking out the full moon, all of it is required to maintain your focus. It keeps your emotions working in a way that serve you. And your emotional self, if you let it go too haywire, you know, getting afraid or being worried or self-doubt, those things will take away from your mental focus. So your emotional focus is so important to be able to be right aligned and go, okay, I'm doing the next thing. I'm right in a groove, like a surrendered kind of dance, if you will. I also suggest journaling in the morning, something you never reread and something that's immediately thrown away. If you're a visionary or a creative, or on that day you have a creative project that you need to get done, it's most important to do that. The reason being that we tend to have ideas in our head at night, or go to bed with stuff we're pondering, or we wake up thinking about things. So if we think about the day as a big canvas, it's not white anymore, because we woke up with stuff. It's not clean. And we want to start the day with a clean canvas. So by getting up and morning journaling and brain dumping without rereading it, just get it all out so that your brain does rest and have a clear white canvas to move into your projects and into your work, you become much more effective and your focus is better, because you're not distracted by all those little voices and all those little ideas and all those little things. Because the truth of the matter is, if you're meant to remember them and if it's important, it'll show back up. We don't need to keep all this stuff chattering in our head, all those little monkeys. So I do that every morning. I write for about 20 minutes. I brain dump until my brain has nothing else to say. And I stick it out, pull it out, in the shredder it goes. And I don't look back. And then my day starts with a very clean, peaceful, you know, white canvas for me to do with whatever I'd like to today. Always take a break in the middle of the day. This is a big one that a lot of people fight back on, but when they try it, it works. I take a break every day from 1 to 1:15, turn off everything. I didn't do it today because I'm with you guys, but I'll do it when we're done. It's scheduled in when we're done here. I'll start clients another 15 minutes later. And I take 15 to 20 minutes and I turn my phones into airplane mode and I get myself in a non-distracted place. Sometimes it's even just my car. And I breathe. And I just let myself settle and reset the day. I actually have a podcast meditation on my Visionary Leaders podcast that says reset meditation. And that's what this is for, to just stop the day for a minute, take a break. It's all going to be okay, because we can get into these rhythms of being a machine and we forget how much mental energy it takes to make multiple decisions. If you have to make a lot of decisions, creative decisions, business decisions, whatever decisions through the day, and you don't give your brain a little break, you'll be very tired at the end of the day. That tiredness can create burnout, but it also can create things like overeating, being depressed, sleepless nights, cortisol imbalance, and all kinds of things. So the way to offset that is to just give yourself a 15-minute break in the middle of the day to just take a break. Just turn everything off for a minute. Turn off your brain just for a minute. And then go back to it, and it will make all the difference in the world. And then, of course, every evening you want to document in a journal fashion. It's best to write in script, because when you're writing in script, you're healing your brain. If you're typing, you're not healing your brain. You're getting the benefit of the journaling. You're not getting the brain chemistry healing. And you journal your insights, your awarenesses, and the things people taught you during the course of the day. So what I do is I go through, okay, who did I interact with today? And what did they teach me? What did I get? What gift did they bring? Like, each one of you today has brought me a gift. And so tonight when I'm journaling, I'll write your names down. And what was the gift today? Sometimes it's the gift of awareness. Sometimes it's the gift of presence. Sometimes it's something you say that's profound. But I'm always listening for where the beauty and the gifts are. It keeps my emotions settled, and it keeps me in a place of being open and receptive, which is where I want to be. That's my evening practice, and that works very well. Now, for your physical focus, you want to stay hydrated and you want to breathe. Air is your friend. You can write that down. Air is your friend, and put it right on your monitor and remind yourself of that. Because most of us don't breathe well. And if we get intense into something we're focused in, sometimes we're scowling and sometimes we stop breathing because we're working. Well, when you do that, you create anxiety, you elevate your blood pressure and it harms your blood vessels and stuff. And you don't want that. You'd really much rather have your body and your being in the flow. So breathing and getting enough water is vital. You know, little trivia, each foot, each one of your little feet sweats out 1 quart of water per day. So if you're not putting water in your system, you're dehydrated. If you're dehydrated, the first sign of dehydration is brain fog. So here, if you're a visionary or you're a problem solver or you're trying to do something and you have brain fog all the time, part of it could be your brain doesn't have enough water, like your engine in your car not having enough oil. It'll seize up eventually. And we don't want to do that. We want to like give our body the physical ability to do whatever you want it to do. My definition of health is that my body can do what I want it to do, including my brain. So hydration and air are the things that you restart with. Then we go from there. Allow your natural rhythm to emerge. I appreciated what Esther was saying earlier about the time limits and the time frames and things, because that's how my life is. I get up early and I'm most creative early in at between 5 and 6 in the afternoon. I'm around, I can listen, I can attend, but don't ask me to do anything where I have to actually have to like create something, because it just will be frustrating. But if I wait till 8 or 9 at night, then I have another burst of ultimate creative time. So I've learned to live within the flow of those things physically. So during the times where my creativity or my thinking might be different, I'm going to rest and it's going to be okay. Or I'm going to do tasks that don't require that extra effort. And then when my creativity times are wide awake, then I seize the moment. You know, the other day I woke up, I guess it was last Saturday, and I was like creative mode. I felt like the Energizer Bunny. I had all these other things planned to do, and they waited. I physically sat down and did all this creativity. I let it all come through me as fast as it could. Then I went back, and I did those other things. But I honor my process and live in it the best way I can. And it's a ride, but it's much more effective than trying to force something. You want to use your mind, your mental activity to support yourself, what you love to do, and your creativity. Those things are really important. Don't use your brain to work against you. So many people say, well, I should be doing this. I have to have a calendar. And oh my God, it's between 2 and 3. And if I'm not doing this, I'm failing. That's not true. What is true is that maybe the system is more rigid than you need it to be, or maybe the system doesn't work. Like I've had people try to help me schedule on the hour or chunks of time. Great. That doesn't work. But you know what does work for me? Chunks that have color. Like I have orange and I have red and green and blue and purple and yellow. And I like to be creative. So I think today will be a green day. So I'll put a bunch of green in there, which is all my creative stuff. And then the other things can be on other days. So the deal I have with myself is I have so many blocks of each color per week. And I get to pick however I lay it out. Then at the end of the week, I'm certain it's all done. And I got to pick the way it showed up based on what was going to work for me the best at that time. So there's lots of ways to use your own creativity and your own desire for structure to support you physically. And last but not least on physical things is to really fuel your body well. You know, process things and things that do not have high nutritional value, big calories, little nutritional value, bad idea. If you want to be effective and efficient and feel physically vibrant, we need to be aware of what our bodies like and don't like. And people with high intelligence and visionary people do have different nutritional needs than others. The people that have very bright thinking, like even some people that they call ADHD and some that actually have that, have different nutritional needs. So that's when tuning into your body and knowing what your own personal nutritional needs are pays off, especially when it comes to like what minerals you need. Visionaries need more minerals than the rest of the crowd. And then you have to learn how to handle stress. You know, there's good stress, right? Stress is something that has a bad rap, I think people call, you know, because it can cause harm if you let it get high and escalated over periods of time. But there is also helpful stress and positive stress. And the positive stress is that nudge you get that says, get off of the couch and go do what you need to do, literally, you know, metaphorically, right? Get the job done. You know, okay, I know I don't really want to do a calendar and I know I don't really want to do it, but I need to get it done. So that positive stress of I need to get it done, that we create inside out allows us to get projects done. So to begin to look at your stress and say, okay, well, some of the stress might be working in my favor to help me keep going or self-motivate, especially if you're working alone or there's not a lot of people around for the external support. And then there's harmful stress of thrashing in a circle and going on and on and on without giving yourself a resolution and a solution and a way to do things. Having a structure, having a system, having a way of looking at things mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and socially, that's the way that it all comes together so that your specific focus pattern works for you in your favor. Because that's the goal, is to take what's your natural, fully equipped, awesome self and put it together and make it into something that is even more grand, where you can live in a flow so that the stress of needing to get something done becomes helpful, not harmful to you. So then we nourish every category with ice cream. You know, that's its own food group, ice cream. But we also nourish it with love and kindness and compassion. It's very important that with all of this, trying to figure out what to do and learn about ourselves and get it right and produce things and be productive and be a good business person or be a good person, whatever it is, we can get caught up in all of those things. And sometimes we forget to nourish ourselves. So nourishing yourself spiritually and emotionally and physically and socially and mentally means loving yourself. It means being kind. It means being compassionate and generous. It means at the end of the day going, good job. You know, even with all the foibles, even with all the stuff that happened, you know, we did a good job. We did the best we could, and that's great. And every morning it means getting up and loving yourself and saying, yeah, this is a great new day. I'm blessed to have this day, and let's see what neat thing we can create. It's living in that moment and that appreciation for who you are and nourishing that part of you that transcends all of the external stuff that can distract us and have us believing that maybe there's not enough of something or we can't get there from here or something like that. Because it's not true. Love yourself. Be a little compassionate, you know. A lot of us who have a lot of goals and dreams and are doing things and being productive, you know, we don't realize that our world is so different than people who aren't even thinking about these topics. So just because you're here sets you in a different stage. And the stage is, and the place that you are is, hold on a second, I have the ability to bring it all together for a greater good. And what is that greater good going to be? It starts with nourishing yourself, like loving yourself, thanking yourself when you do a good job, you know, thanking yourself in your feet maybe for walking you or your knees or whatever it takes to remind you that you're perfect and awesome and amazing, even when you don't feel like it.
Are you tired of searching for someone who understands you? Join our Facebook group, Someone Gets Me. In this group, you will be able to connect with others who are intense, sensitive, smart, talented, and wanting to be understood. Diane shares her insights and teachings, and you can connect with others. Join today.